Father, I thank you right now. In the name of Jesus, God, I thank you, God, for your word is living and powerful, God. Father, I pray tonight, God, as the word is being preached, God, that your message, God, would go forth, God. I pray, God, for every life and every heart and every single person in here, Lord God, that you would bless them with the word tonight, God. Bless them with a word, God. I pray tonight, Father God, that they would leave encouraged, Father, that they would leave blessed, God. They would leave filled up, God, with your word. And Father, I thank you, God, for what you're going to do tonight, God. And Lord, we pray for all the churches, God, that are all over the Inland Empire, God, really all over the world, God, that are preaching and teaching your gospel, God, your truth. Bless them, God, the same way you bless us here at the Rock Church. And Father, we thank you for it, God. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, go with me to Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 34. We're going to read a little bit, and then we're going to jump right into it. But I believe this. I believe this is a story that every one of us in this room could relate to or have related to sometime in our life. And if you haven't related to it yet, I believe that sometime in your life, you will relate to this. And so as we get into the story, we're going to dive into it. I'm going to read the scriptures, but there's some things out of the Word of God from this story that I want to pull together to share with you guys on how we could walk in the power and activate the faith that God has given us in our life. How many in this room would say they want God's faith to operate in power in this room? Raise your hand. Come on. All right, so if you do, here's what we're going to do. Tonight, we're going to dive into it. And as we dive into it, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, I want you to ask Jesus to show you what it is that he wants you to get out of this message. Because Pastor Donnie can preach a message, and I can preach until I'm blue in the face, but if God doesn't show you what you need out of this message, it won't do anything for you. So God's word wants to speak to you tonight, and he's going to speak. So if you go with me to Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 34, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It says this: a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I could just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. And she could feel in her body that she had been healed of a terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? His disciples said to him, look at this crowd pressing around you. How could you ask who touched me? But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman trembled at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell on her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. She did what? She fell on her knees and told him what she had done. Now, in the story, what we read is she was pushing through the crowd just so she could touch the garment of Jesus. She was pushing through the crowd so she could touch Jesus, because here's what she believed. If she can get through this crowd and get to Jesus, the minute she would touch Jesus, she would be healed. Did you know there's a power in the touch? Did you know there's something about touch? If you're married in here and your wife touches you, you're like, ooh, come on. If you're single in here and you shouldn't be getting touched. But if you're dating in here and you're at that level of dating and you're, you know, you're not a teenager, you're an adult, and you're holding hands, there's just something about touch. Or if you got a daughter in here, if you're a dad, and you hug your daughter, there's something about a touch. Or if you're a dad and you just grab your sons and you just put your arm around your sons, there's something about a touch. And so she knew that if I could touch him, something's going to happen in my life. Did you know that if you could touch Jesus, that if you could get to Jesus and touch Jesus, which we can, that something could happen in your life? You may have came in here tonight and come in this place tonight feeling beat up. You may have come in here tonight feeling depressed. You may come in here tonight feeling anxiety. But if you could just reach and get that touch and that touch of God change your life, let me tell you, you'll leave here not in anxiety. You'll leave here not depressed, but you'll leave here strengthened and you'll leave here with joy in your heart. Oh, but she had to do something to get to the touch. It wasn't a simple move. Now think about this. How many of you love Disneyland in here? You know, the greatest place we all love, right? In Disneyland, there's a lot of people. And there's crowds of people. And you're being touched by every single person, right? You're walking through the crowds. You're like, excuse me, right? But there's touching all going around. Could you imagine this? If you saw Jesus on the far side of Disneyland, but you had to get through everyone to get to him. Are you willing to go through that fight? Or are you willing to go through that hustle so that you can get that touch? And so here's what she had to do. She had to go through the crowd. She had to push away. Oh, and that, it gets better than that. Let me explain this to you. A woman with an issue of blood then was considered unclean. So automatically, not only did she have to get through, she had a hope like, hey, I'm not going to be leaking any blood. Because if they see me, I'm considered unclean. But yet she still pushed through the crowd because she had a boldness in her and a faith in her that said, if I could just touch that garment, if I could just touch Jesus, then I'm going to get healed. Did you know if you could just touch Jesus tonight, come on, you could be healed? If you just touch Jesus tonight, your life could be changed. So the rest of the story goes like this. Then she was frightened, woman trembling and realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, daughter, your faith, say faith. Faith. Come on, say it like you mean it. Faith. Your faith has made you well. Your suffering is all over. Go in peace. In this passage, we just heard about a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. We had heard about a woman who had been desperate. We had heard about a woman who was in a place of seeing doctors and paying for doctors, running out of money, not having the finances, not having anything, but all she could do is believe in one thing, and his name was Jesus. In our world today, we have Jesus, but yet we don't want to touch Jesus when we need to touch him. We just touch him when we feel like we should touch him. Let me just be honest with you. With the touch of God in your life, it could change every situation around you. Some of you might be feeling, Pastor, there's no way it can change my situation. Let me explain something to you. Any situation is no situation for Jesus. Jesus can heal any situation. Jesus can deliver you from any situation. Jesus can walk you through any situation, but you got to be willing to get through the crowd and get through it to get to the touch of Jesus in your life. I have titled my message tonight, if you're taking notes, for those that take notes, I've titled it this, When Faith Meets Power. When faith meets power. So tonight what I want to talk to you about is this, is I want to talk to you and speak to you about activating your faith so we can experience God's power. The faith is there, we have it, but yes, sometimes we haven't activated it. Come on, church. Sometimes we're in a place that's like the faith, but I got to activate this faith so that I can get to that power of God. She had to activate faith to get through that crowd, to get to the place so she could touch that garment and be healed. There are things in your life that you're going to have to activate your faith for so that you can receive what God wants to do. You know, I love it when people say to me, Pastor, I'm not getting healed. I just still feel the same way. Listen, because you're not believing you could be healed. I've had conversations with people and they're like, you know, can you pray for me? And I always ask them this, do you believe that you can be healed if we pray for you? Well, I don't know. I can't pray for you if you don't believe it. Because my Bible says, whatever you pray for and believe, you will receive. And I need you to have some faith and believe with me. Where two or more come together and pray, guess what? He's in the midst. And when we come together and pray, God's going to do something in there. But it's tough when you're praying for someone and they don't have the faith to believe. And yet you're like, okay, God, I need extra faith so I can believe for them and believe on their behalf. And God, you just got to show up and do what you do. David E. Garland said it like this, faith opens the door to the power of God. So tonight, I'm going to give you three things, and I believe if you take these three things and you apply them, say apply them to your life, that you'll see yourself getting through the crowds, getting through the things, and touching the garment of Jesus. Number one is this tonight, if you're taking notes, a faith that activates power, number one is this, seeks Jesus. A faith that operates power seeks Jesus. You got to be a seeker of Jesus to get to that level of faith to receive that power that God wants to give you. Everyone wants to seek everything else in this world, but God says, no, I need you to seek me. The Word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything what will be added unto you. In other words, it's when you seek God first, all these other things that you're worried about, all these other things that you desire, all these other things you want, guess what? If it's in God's will, you'll have it because His Word says it. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and let everything be added unto you. This woman had tried everything in the world she could. She has tried everything in the world that she could to get rid of this illness. Has anyone in here ever tried everything on their own? Come on. Has anyone ever, even tonight, maybe you're trying to be healed. Maybe tonight you're trying to walk through something. Maybe tonight you're trying to get through situations. Maybe tonight you're facing something difficult and you're not sure how you're going to get it. And you're trying on your own strength. Can I be honest with you? Our strength isn't going to work. This lady tried everything that she could to get to that place. She tried doctors, she paid bills, she tried everything she could in the natural, in the world, she tried everything, but the only thing that could do it was the supernatural, and the power of God was the only thing that could touch her and heal her body. In April 1988, the Evening News reported a photographer who is a skydiver. He had jumped from a plane along with numerous other skydivers and filmed the group. They all fell open with their parachutes. In the film shown on the telecast, as the final skydiver opened the chute, this picture went berserk. The announcer reported to the cameraman had fallen to death, having jumped out of the plane without a parachute. It wasn't until he reached for the absent ripcord that he was free falling without a parachute. Until that point, the jump seemed exciting and fun, but tragically, he had acted with a thoughtless haste and deadly foolishness. Nothing could save him, for his faith was in his parachute, never buckled on. Faith in anything but God, let me say it again, faith in anything but God can leave you and lead you to a spiritual tragic position in your life. If you want to put your faith in other things, it's not going to work. We put our faith in a government, it's not going to work. We put our faith in the state, it's not going to work. We put our faith in our employers, it's not going to work. The only faith that's going to work is one who puts their faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Maybe you put your faith and belief in other things and you have the results of it. And the results is like, yo, Pastor, none of that worked. Can I challenge you to do something? Change that position. Change that position to say, you know, I'm not going to put my faith in these other things. But instead, I'm going to put my faith in Jesus Christ. Because I know that's the one that works. I know this when I call on God. Last time I preached, when I was sharing a testimony with you, when I'm calling on God to heal me, I'm not calling on my neighbor. I'm not calling on my wife. I'm not calling on others. Yeah, I'm calling on them to pray for me. But the only person that can walk me through the healing and walk me through that process, his name is Jesus. So when I stand and I believe in faith and have a God kind of faith and say, God's got this, then I ain't worried about it no more because he's the one I have faith in. When you put your faith in anything but God, you don't get the results. This woman had enough faith to believe in her healing, and she received it because she was on a mission in seeking Jesus. I love what it says in Jeremiah 29:13. If you have your Bibles, you can go there. If not, it'll be on the screen. It says, and you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your what? Come on, with all your what? Heart. In other words, this, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. So let me ask you guys this question tonight. Let me ask everyone this question tonight. Are there areas in our life, are there areas where we have tried the world's solution and found no peace in it? If so, let's do this tonight. Let's activate our faith, turn towards Jesus, trusting in his power. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time, come on, to trust Jesus. Come on, say, it's time to activate my faith. James chapter 2:17 says it like this. In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, it is what? Dead. I love what Thomas Goodwin said. He said, a faith that does not act is not faith. Let me say it again. A faith that does not act is not what? Faith. Church, I want to challenge every one of us tonight. I want to just put this challenge out there. Whether you accept it or not, I want to challenge you to act on your faith. It's one thing to say we have faith, but it's another thing to say, I have faith. We can all say, I got faith. Come on. How many of you said, I got faith? I got faith in this. I got faith in my Jesus. But then all of a sudden, when something comes at us, where did that faith go? So it's easy to say, I got faith. But can you really say, I got faith that Jesus wants me to have? The God kind of faith. The faith that changes. the faith that seeks, the faith that goes forward, the faith that God blesses, and the faith that God says, that's my child. They believe. They have enough faith. Oh, I can heal them. I can deliver them. I can set them free. Just like I did with the woman who touched the garment, I can do the same thing for them because I'm God Almighty and my name is Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody, if you believe that tonight. Tonight we're talking about a faith that activates power. Number two is this. It's bold. If you look back at our main text, despite the crowds and her conditions, the woman still boldly reached out to grab that garment. She still had to have boldness in her, first of all, to step out into public. And as she got out to public, she had to have more boldness to step forward to go touch the garment of Jesus Christ. And so because she had a boldness in her, it stirred up inside of her, it was activated, it kicked faith into action. And when her faith got into action, guess what? God's power said, I'm going to meet the faith and I'm going to show up on her behalf. A bold faith is an important faith to have. I look at this text and I say, man, a bold faith is it's important to have. Why? Because she had to do everything in her boldness to get to Jesus. You know, sometimes there's not much you have to do to get to Jesus in this place. Come on. You can come on a Sunday morning service. You can come on a Sunday night service, a Wednesday night service, lift your hands, be in worship, and the Spirit of God fall. You can come to this altar on a Holy Spirit night and be filled with the Holy Spirit right away. But she had a boldness to step out and say, no matter what it takes in my life, I'm going to get there. And when I get there, I know that God's going to do something. So this woman took a bold step. And when she took that bold step, God met her. Maybe you're being challenged tonight to take a bold step in your life. Maybe you've been sitting on something for a long time. Maybe God's been speaking to you about something from a message that you heard from the pulpit. Maybe God's been speaking to you about something, about just the word you've been reading in your Bible or a song you heard, and God's been speaking to you about it, but yet you haven't moved in the boldness of faith that God wants you to move in. And maybe God's challenging you tonight. Maybe God's calling you to be a person to say, you know what? I know what I'm supposed to be doing, and I know I'm supposed to move forward in this, but I haven't done it. And God, I know that it's my time because I'm hearing bold faith, and I need to have that faith that's bold to do what you're asking me to do. Many people in the Word of God had bold faith. Many, many places in the Scriptures, I'll just give you a few of them. David showed bold faith when he stood up against Goliath. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego showed bold faith when they didn't bow to the idol. And here's another one. Esther bravely went to the king even when it was dangerous. And Elijah showed his bold faith by confronting the prophet of Baal. Every one of these people showed a bold faith inside of them. Every one of these people had a boldness inside of them. No matter what it was going to take, I'm still going to do it because I have enough faith to believe in Jesus. Do you really think David himself, that little tiny dude, could take out that big Goliath? He knew, I can't do this, but I come in the power of the Holy Ghost. And when I come in the power of the Holy Ghost, I got enough faith and boldness in me to say I could take down any giant that faces me. Oh, come on, church, you know what that means tonight? Any giant that you're facing, any struggle that you're facing, guess what? You have enough bold faith in you, you could take it out through the power of God. Where is God calling you to step out tonight? Write this down. Where is God calling me to step out? Where is God calling you to step out? What is he calling you to put your bold faith into and really trust in him? I remember as a child, how many dads have I got in this place? Raise your hand if you're a dad. Okay, there's some dads in this place. I remember as a child, my dad, when he taught me how to ride a bike. Anybody remember learning how to ride a bike? Raise your hand. Anybody who taught their kids how to ride a bike? Raise your hand. And I remember as a child learning how to ride a bike, I remember I'm getting on the bike and no training wheels being on it now. Training wheels made me feel safe. But I remember getting on the bike with the training wheels being moved, and I remember just getting on the bike and holding the handlebars and just riding like just real slow. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like for that first time you're wobbling, you're not like doing BMX tricks or anything like that or jumps. You're learning how to ride a bike. And I remember, you know, my dad being behind me, and he's pushing me, son, you got it, you know, pedal. And I'm like, I don't want to pedal faster. If I pedal faster, I'm going to fall, like I'm going to lose control of this. And I remember as he was pushing me, pedaling faster, and he would say, pedal, because if you don't pedal enough, you're going to fall right over. And so I'm pedaling, and I remember just picking it up like, pedal. And I remember my little legs is going like a hamster wheel, just, and I remember that final last push. In that push, I had to hope, I had to believe that Dad was fast enough to run around the bike to catch me if I fall. And thank God he was fast enough to run around the bike and catch me when I fall. But guess what? It's the same thing with us. When you're learning how to ride a bike, you're learning how to trust that someone's behind you. And you're walking faith. You're trusting and you're believing that every step that you take, every place that you go, every move that you make, and no, I'm not singing a song, but you got to remember this, Jesus, he's with you in those times. Come on, somebody, let's give God a praise. Martin Luther King Jr. said it like this, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. At times, we got to take that first step even when we don't see it. Come on. We just got to have enough faith to believe that what God's telling us to do, we're going to step out and do it. I go back to the story in the Word of God where Jesus tells Peter to walk on the water, and I'm not stealing Pastor Dan's message from this morning, but I go back to the story, and here's what he says. He says to me, tell me to come, and he begins to walk on the water. That took a bold step of faith to do. And I believe this, that Jesus is calling us to take a bold step of faith into our next seasons. I believe Jesus is telling every one of us in this room that there's something I have for you in store. There's something I want you to do. There's something I've been telling you to do, but yet you haven't done it because you didn't have the bold step of faith. And I believe tonight, Jesus is making it clear. You got to take the step of faith and have the boldness in it and believe that he'll show up on your behalf. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says it like this. But without faith, say without, it is impossible to please who? Him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently, what? Seek him. Tonight we're talking about activating a faith inside of us. We're talking about activating a faith so it meets power. Number three tonight is this, is it brings transformation. Pastor, how does it bring transformation? Here's how. When the woman touched Jesus, she was completely healed and transformed. She had been suffering from an issue for a long time, going back to the text. 12 years is a long time to have an issue of bleeding. Anybody want to agree with me? Wave at me. That's a long time. Sometimes, you know, my grandsons will get a bloody nose, and it's like, it's a bloody nose. And it just comes out. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, that's going to stop in a few minutes, but 12 years? That's a lot. Loss of blood in 12 years is a lot. But the minute she touched him, the faith inside activated power and it brought transformation to her. When the woman touched Jesus, her faith immediately transformed. Her physical healing was accompanied. Her spiritual peace and Jesus affirmed her faith. With just a touch of God in her life, let me say it again. With just a touch of God in our life, it could change our situation right now. Maybe you're in this room tonight and you're saying, Pastor, I'm trying to find a job. Listen, a touch of God can find you many jobs. Maybe you're in this room tonight and you're saying, Pastor, I'm trying to heal my marriage. Listen, a touch of God can heal your marriage. Maybe you're in this room tonight and you're diagnosed with a cancer or a disease. Let me tell you something. A touch of God can heal. A touch of God can get rid of that diagnose. A touch of God can transform your life. A touch of God can give you that job. A touch of God can touch your kids. A touch of God can change you forevermore. But it's a what? Say touch from God. That brings that transformation. In Matthew chapter 8, there's a story where Jesus heals a man of leprosy. I love this story because Jesus displays something very strong here. He displays that his healing power is evident and the man with leprosy is going to be healed. And a lot of times we face things and we don't believe that we could get through what we're facing. Come on. But yet Jesus could heal leprosy. He could raise the dead. Blind eyes, deaf ears. But here's, I want to read this to you. And it's out of Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. But I want to read this. I want you to see what happens here. Large crowds, say crowds. What happened in the first part of this message, in the first text? She had to push through what? Crowds. Large crowds followed Jesus as they came down the mountainside. Suddenly a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. Lord, the man said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. Jesus reached out and touched, say touched, touched him and said, I am willing. He said, be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Let me explain this to you. After Jesus touched, say touched, touched him, the man was completely what? Healed. This is not only made in his physical healthiness, but also had spiritual, social, and emotional effects in his life. How does that happen? Here's how. The man was no longer seen as unclean because he no longer had leprosy. Back in those times when you had leprosy, you were considered to be caged up, locked up, and you were considered unclean. And you couldn't be around the public, you couldn't be around the social people, you couldn't be social with anyone, you couldn't be around these things because you had leprosy. But yet Jesus steps into the picture and the man says, are you willing? He says, absolutely, I'm willing. And because you're willing, you have the faith to believe that I'm going to transform you through the power of this touch. And when I touch you, you're going to be healed from this. And now your social life, your family life, your caged life is going to be completely over. Why? Because I'm the one who healed you and I'm the one who set you free. Again, it was a touch of Jesus. It was a touch by God. Who in here tonight could say they need a touch of God? Come on, if that's you, just raise your hand all over this place. Who in here could say they could use a touch by God? Just keep your hands up for a moment. Keep your hands up. You need a touch by God. Just put your hand up all over this room. All over this place. I need a touch. I need God's touch in my life. Now here's what I want you to say. Jesus, I need a touch from you. Let's say it again. Say, Jesus, I need a touch from you. Say it like you mean it. Jesus, I need a touch from you. Let's do it again. Jesus, I need a touch from you. Let's do it again. Jesus, I need a touch from you. You're like, Pastor, why are we repeating this? Say it again. Jesus, I need a touch from you. Keep saying it. Come on. Jesus, I need a touch from you. Now say it on your own. Now just keep your hands up and thank him for what he's done right now. Thank him. Thank him for touching your life. Thank him for healing your body. Come on. Do you have enough faith to believe that he could do it? Thank him right now. Thank you, God, for touching my body. Thank you, Jesus, for touching me. Thank you, Jesus, for touching my situation. Thank you, Jesus, for that touch that I needed. Some of you in this room needed such a touch from God tonight. Some of you are in this place right now, and God is saying, I'm going to continue to touch. I'm going to continue to touch. Because I know I'm going to do something in your life. Some of you in this room tonight face some stuff and you're facing it now and you're saying, I need that touch. And he heard you say it. And tonight he's giving you that touch. Some of you in this room have came in here tonight and you're going to wake up feeling different tomorrow. Came in here in pain. You came in here, your body ached. Might even had a growth. Might have had something on your neck. Might have had something that was there. And you're going to go home and you're going to feel that touch of God. And it's going to be gone tonight in the name of Jesus. You know, I was talking to my grandson the other day. And we were just, he's two. So when I say talking, he's learning how to talk. It's not like I'm having a full-on conversation with him like we could have right now, you know. And he's learning how to talk. And I just love it because he has such a heart for Jesus. And he'll say to me, he'll be like, Pop, Pop. because I'm too young to be called Papa, so he calls me Pop Pop. I made that clear right away. No, really, that was just the first thing that came out of his mouth, Pop Pop. I was like, thank you, Jesus. But I remember just sitting there having a conversation with him and kind of just talking with him and just hearing him talk about Jesus. And him just talking about, he says, Papa, Jesus don't like Halloween. And at first I couldn't understand what he was saying. And he kept saying, Jesus don't like Halloween. Jesus don't like Halloween. I'm like, Raylene? I don't know. Who are you talking about? And then finally his mom goes, Halloween. I said, oh. And he says, because it's scary. And I'm like, well, you know, it could be a day that we reach a lot of people. We could change that scariness and bring in God to it. But sometimes we have to believe in our heart that we could, as believers, impart something on a night like that. And he's looking at me probably like, what are you saying? He's two. But then he grabs drumsticks and goes, sits on the drums, and he's like, Papa, listen. And he starts playing like the worship music that's on YouTube. And I begin to think to myself, man, this guy has an anointing for God. Like, God's going to do something with this kid. And I begin to build this faith inside of me for my grandkid. And the faith that I'm building is like, man, he's going to go further. He's going to do much more. He's going to do greater than all of us. Because that's what I want for him. Did you know Jesus wants that for you? He wants you to build your faith up enough so you can go further than what you thought you can go. So you can do more than what you thought you can do. So then he opens up this book. And there's caterpillars and there's butterflies in it. And they begin to read the story about the caterpillar and the butterfly. And I'm like, oh my gosh, the story, okay. This is what grandpas do. We just sit there and we read with them, right? And so I'm reading the stories with him, and I'm going through it, and I'm looking at him like, hey, look how it goes from this caterpillar, but look how it changes and goes into a butterfly. And I said, when they're a caterpillar, they can't really do a lot. They're stuck. But when they become a butterfly, guess what? They can fly. And I begin to think about something. In our life, we're completely changed by faith when it transforms us. Just like how this caterpillar became a butterfly and was able to fly and was able to soar, guess what? When you have faith in your life and you're walking in the faith that God's given you, guess what? You become more than the butterfly. You become more than just wings. But you become a person of God who God can take anywhere, who God can do anything with, and a person who God can use. Why? Because they have enough faith to believe that God inside of them is bigger than anything that's in the world. They have enough faith to believe that God is greater than the enemy. They have much faith to believe that they can be healed, they can be set free, they can be delivered. Why? Because God is much powerful, much more bigger than the name of Jesus is much bigger than any demonic influence or any demonic name out there. His name is Jesus Christ. And when you build your faith up in that, guess what? Now you have the authority to reach the faith and power together. Bam! Becomes what Jesus wants to do in your life. So tonight, I want to challenge every one of us in this room, including myself in this area, that we can build our faith and activate the faith inside of us to do more than what we ever thought we could. Whew. That we can put enough faith in Jesus, even in the small things, just like we do in the larger things. That our faith will grow strong, and our faith will come into a place of an understanding, a place where we depend on Jesus fully in our life, on everything, and everything that we do. Come on, somebody, if you believe this tonight, can we shout some praise to Jesus that you can receive that faith tonight? You know, if you realize at the end of that story, he said, your faith has made you what? Well. Look at your neighbor and say, your faith has made you well. Tonight, as I conclude, is this. The story we looked at tonight was from Mark chapter 5. The woman with the issue of blood shows us that faith is powerful, dynamic, and transformative. That it transforms our life. Here's what we got to do. Seek Jesus. Say, seek Jesus. Act boldly. And that'll usher in a new reality of peace and wholeness. Tonight, let's choose to live our life assured by Jesus' love and transformed power of faith. Tonight, if you guys got something from God, let's give God a praise.
You know, Pastor, I was thinking as you were preaching that last point, just reviewing some of the personal transformations that God has taken me through, right? Both, you know, physical, emotional, spiritual. And I don't know any of them that didn't happen apart from seeking Jesus boldly, right? Seeking Jesus boldly is the beginning of every good thing that has ever happened and ever will happen in our life. What a wonderful word. Thank you so much, Pastor Donnie. Yeah, amen. That's right. Clap. Be thankful because God equips us through the preaching of the word and encourages us. And hey, I want to encourage you tonight. One of the things Pastor Donnie says, right? Faith that doesn't act is dead, right? The Bible says that. Faith without works is dead. And we trust God for every area of our life. So I'm going to read you tonight an email that the church received about the faith declaration. If you've ever been here, when we do the faith declaration about once a month, we make a proclamation. This is somebody who said after the faith declaration, they began to see God move in their finances. So let me share it with you. It says, hey, church family, the week after the faith declaration statement, I was at a drive-thru when I grabbed change out of my car door. I saw an old penny and I put it back to grab a newer penny. When I looked at the old penny, it was from 1934. We Googled it and the penny is worth about $900. Wow. Additionally, that Wednesday, I received a call from a friend who said her boss was interested in using my homemade hair oil in their spa. Wow. Then that Friday, I made a Walmart delivery order, and when the order arrived, it was someone else's order. I called customer service, and they reimbursed my payment, gave me an additional $15 for the inconvenience, and told me to keep the $50 of groceries that were already delivered. God is so good. I knew immediately that every one of these events were gifts from God. Why? Because they believe God at his word, right? God says, test me in this, trust me in this with our finances. So we're going to take a moment right now and give you that same opportunity to sow into the kingdom of God, to act in obedience. What do you mean by obedience? God says that with everything we've earned, we take that first 10%, we give it back to him because it's already his, and then he's going to bless the 90%. I don't want to live without God's blessing in my life. So right now, we're giving you an opportunity to sow into the kingdom of God and obey God. There's ways to give up on the screen behind me. If you want to give electronically, you can take out your phone to do that. You can also just tap to give on that little symbol in the seat in front of you. If you are in need of an offering envelope because you want to give a physical gift, what do I mean? Cash, or you want to use your credit card and fill out the information on the envelope, there's some ushers standing up right now. Just raise your hand and they will serve you. Shake it a little in the air so they can see you and they'll get that right to you. While you're giving your offering online or filling out that envelope, we're going to go ahead and pray and bless your giving tonight. Father, I thank you for this testimony of encouragement that when we trust you with our finances, you come through in all kinds of interesting and miraculous ways. We thank you for the blessing over this family that shared this testimony. And God, we trust you with every bit of our finances, just like we do with every other area of our life. So tonight, Father, we speak a blessing over the gifts and a blessing over the givers. I thank you, Lord God, that everything that is sown into the house of God, that you're going to stretch it to meet the needs of the house, Lord God, to meet the needs of the ministry that this house does, so we can continue to preach your word, continue to love our city, continue to love the Indian Empire, continue to minister to missionaries all over the world through these finances, God. And I thank you that you're going to make sure that we have everything that we need for life and godliness, because we are your children. We speak a blessing over this offering in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Hey, I've got a handful of announcements for you before Pastor Donnie comes back up tonight. The first one is on Wednesday, we will have Pastor Luke Cobray with us here in the house bringing the word. You hear a few claps there. People who've heard Pastor Luke before know he always brings an excellent teaching. That name may sound a little familiar to you if you're not already know who he is. Cobray, he is the son of our founding pastors and the brother of our senior pastors. And so we hope you're here on Wednesday night to receive what God has placed in his heart. And then Marriage Night, we have a Marriage Night on Friday, November 15th in the Youth Auditorium at 7 p.m. with Pastor Brian Schulze and his wife Melissa. They've got quite a testimony, miraculous work of God as he saved them and transformed them and just placed them into a place of ministry. Come and be ministered to married couples on Friday night, November 15th. And then if you are interested in going to the nations, taking the gospel of Jesus out of the Inland Empire and into places all across the world, we are going to have our missions information meeting tomorrow night and Tuesday night. You only need to come to one of those. It's the same meeting, but in order to get in, you need to register. So you can pick up your phone right now, take that QR code, and go ahead and register for those meetings. Or you can go onto the church website and register directly from there. But register before the meetings tomorrow and Tuesday so that you can go out on a mission with us, Mexico, Thailand, Vietnam, next year in 2025. And then our last announcement before we have a video come up is the Rock Bible College Spring 2025 registration is now open, right? If you want to learn more, you're hungry, you're like, I'm getting into church 2-3 times a week, and God, I just want to learn more. Come out to Bible College. We've got classes twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. We got a 2-year program full time, 4 years part time, where you can just have the Word of God prepared for you in all kinds of subjects and just get to know what God has to say and what His plan is for you. So, Bible College registration open. I think there's a QR code there where you can also get your phone, or you can go straight to the church website for that information. One video, and then Pastor Donnie will be right back with us.
Okay, ladies, you got to get signed up. You got to get registered, because I believe this. I know it's going to get sold out. How many of you are not registered? If you haven't registered, I'm going to challenge you. Go get registered, because I know it's going to be sold out. It's going to be powerful. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to get my wife registered right away, because I'm not going to tell you to do something that I'm not going to do. So I'm going to go ahead and take care of that. So, hey, you guys have been great. I hope you enjoyed the Word of God tonight. I hope God spoke something to you tonight. But before we dismiss you tonight, I just want to make sure that we're all right with Jesus in this place. I would hate to get up here and preach a message about faith and building your faith and activating your faith if you don't even have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And a lot of times we come into church and we think, because, you know, we come to church that everything is okay, everything's great, but it's not. You can come to church on a regular basis. You can come to church every Wednesday, every Sunday. You can come to every service. And yet when you pass, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you're not going to make it into heaven. And so tonight, here's what I want to do, is I want to extend to you one of the greatest invitations of your life that you'll ever receive, and that's to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Pastor, why is that the greatest situation, and why is that the greatest invitation? Here's why. Because if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you die tonight, you'd end up in heaven. But if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you walked out of this building tonight and you end up passing away, or you end up getting a car accident, or you end up going into the hospital, never coming out, end up dying in there, and you have a relationship with Him, then you're not going to make it to heaven. You're going to end up in hell for eternity. And so it's important that I give you this invitation tonight, because we've been taught that in American church, because we go to church, we're going to go to heaven. We've been taught in American church that because we come to church and we sit in a pew and we sit in a chair, that we're going to go to heaven. And nowhere in the Word of God, nowhere in here will you find that if you go to church, you're going to go to heaven. Nowhere in here you will find that if you are a good person, that you're going to go to heaven. Nowhere will you find that in the Word of God. You could look for it. You could search for it. You could search day and night. You won't find it in there. There's only one way into heaven, and it's having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's you coming to a place, surrendering your life and your heart for Jesus. He came for us. He died on a cross for us. Rose from the dead for us. And now it's our turn to receive Him as our Lord and personal Savior. You might be saying to yourself tonight, Pastor, I'm not ready. Listen, do you have a date where he's going to come? Do you have a plan? Did he come and tell you at night, hey, I'm coming on January 2026 on the 13th day. Be ready. No, no one has that. Matter of fact, the Word of God says that we're here one moment and we're gone the next. Some will be working on the field, they'll disappear. Some will be doing things, they'll be gone. The ones that will be disappearing will be the ones that raptured into heaven, the ones that are going to heaven, the ones that will be left are the ones that are not going to end up going to heaven. And wouldn't that be a shame to come to church time after time, hear the Word of God, hear about being your faith build up, believing what God's saying, but yet not having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because that's the real transformation in your life. You might be saying to yourself, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've gone through. Listen, I remember when I came to an altar. I remember how I was when I came to the altar. And I remember how God transformed my life. It's not about how you come. Matter of fact, the Word of God says, come as though you are. It's about you giving your heart to Jesus Christ. So here's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to count to three. I'm going to go one, two, three, bang like this. When you hear my hands go bang like this, if you're in this room tonight and you're saying to yourself, I've never given my life to Jesus. Or you're in this room tonight and you're thinking, well, I hope I can make it into heaven. Or you're in this room tonight and you're thinking, I think I can make it. Listen, there's no hoping and there's no thinking your way into heaven. It's either you give your heart to Jesus, become born again, have a personal relationship with him, or you don't stand before him and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Now imagine this tonight. Let me give you two pictures real quick. Picture number one is this. You came to church tonight. You heard the Word of God. You got into the Word of God. You got into worship. Man, God was moving. Pastor Donnie said, I'm going to give you the greatest invitation of your life. And you're saying, what is it? And when I said that I'm going to have you count to three, go one, two, three, bang like this, you said to yourself, I don't want to raise my hand. I'm going to be embarrassed. Listen, you might be embarrassed for a moment, but can we look at the trade-off? I think I'd rather be embarrassed for a moment than spend my whole life in hell for eternity. Now, could you imagine this? You left here tonight, and I don't wish this, pray this. I don't want this over anybody's life, so hear me. But reality happens and things happen in life. You came into church tonight, you got into worship, heard the Word of God. Pastor Donnie said, one, two, three, bang. You said, I don't want to raise my hand. I'm embarrassed to raise my hand. And you stood before Jesus tonight, and he said these words to you. Do you remember that loudmouth preacher who was preaching and said he's going to count to three, one, two, three, and go bang like this? And you said, I remember him. And you said you didn't want to raise your hand because you were embarrassed. And you say, yeah. And he says, because you couldn't receive me as your Lord and personal Savior, I can't accept you into my kingdom. Depart from me, I never knew who you were. The Bible says this, and you may be asking yourself, why do I got to raise my hand? The Bible says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. But if you deny me, I'll deny you. So look at this. Picture number two. Check this out. Picture number two, you came into church. You heard the Word of God. You got into the presence of God. You got into worship. God showed up. You begin to get built up in faith. And the very end, Pastor Donnie said, I'm going to give you the greatest invitation. I'm going to go one, two, three, bang like that. And when I clap my hands like that, bang. And you said you want to receive Jesus. And you raise your hand tonight. And you end up standing before God tonight. And him say these words to you. Do you remember that loudmouth preacher? You're like, yep. Do you remember when he said he was going to count to three? You're like, yep. Remember when he said, if you raise your hand and receive as your Lord, personal Savior, then you'll receive the kingdom of heaven. And I'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. Imagine this. Tonight, that was you. And he said, because you were bold, because you had enough faith, because you raised your hand and said, I want to receive you as my Lord and personal Savior. Tonight, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome to the kingdom of heaven forever. Now, here's the deal. No one can make you choose picture one or two. But my prayer is this, that tonight you would say you want to be in picture number two. That tonight you came in this room and you're saying, I need a relationship with Jesus Christ. That tonight you said, when you came into this place, I can't think my way into heaven anymore. I can't hope my way into heaven. I have to believe that I'm going to receive him as my Lord and personal Savior. And tonight you came in this place looking for real transformation in your life and real transformation in your heart. And tonight you came into this place wanting to leave changed. Then here's how you can do that. Surrender your life and your whole heart to Jesus Christ. So tonight, what I'm going to do is this, is I'm going to count to three. And if you're in this place tonight, who should do this? If you're running from God instead of to God, who else should do this? If you've never given Jesus Christ your whole life, your whole heart, and who else should do this? If you're in this place tonight, you became a lukewarm Christian, a little in, a little out, not full, so hard out for God, but you're just a little in, a little out. The Word of God says in Revelation chapter 3, and I want you to hear, because he's speaking to the seven churches. It means he's speaking to people inside the church. And he says, when I come back, I better find you hot or cold. Because if I find lukewarm, I will what? Vomit you from my mouth. In other words, it's not going to make it. And notice this, that he was speaking to the church in Revelation 3, the seven churches. He wasn't speaking to people outside the church. Here's what God knew. God knew that people in the church were going to become lukewarm. And because it became lukewarm, he says, I'm going to give you this warning to get right with me. And so tonight, maybe you're in this place and you say, I gave my life to Jesus. I gave my heart to him. But yeah, Pastor, I'm that person that became lukewarm. Well, tonight you can rededicate your life. Here's how it's going to work. Is I'm going to count to three. I'm going to go one, two, three. Bang, just like that. When you hear my hands go bang like this. If that's you in this room, you've never given Jesus your whole life. If that's you in this room, you're saying tonight that you know that if you were to die, you wouldn't make it into heaven. If that's you in this room tonight and you're saying you want to rededicate your life, that at one time you did and now you became lukewarm, all I want you to do is slip your hand up right where you're at. All over the place, just slip your hand up. Say, that's me, Pastor. Tonight I want to get right with Jesus. Tonight I want to make sure, their hands are going up already. When I count to three, tonight I want to make sure that if I die, and if Jesus came back for me tonight, that I'm going to make it and stand before him in heaven. So on three. One, two, three. Bang! Anybody in this room, if that's you, just pop your hand up. Thank you. One, two, three, four, five. Any more? Six. Got you. We got seven, eight, nine, ten. I think there's one back there, right there. 11. Got you. Help me out if there's any more. I think I got you, man. 11, 12. Anymore. I didn't embarrass him. I won't embarrass him between you and God. Don't walk out of this room tonight not knowing. Walk out of this room with confidence. You're pointing somewhere. Where are you pointing at, brother? Okay, 12. 13. I got you already. 12. Okay, if I got you, put your hands down. Is there anyone else? Just pop your hand up right now, right where you're at. 12 wise people say they want to give their life and heart to Jesus. Is there any more? Just pop your hand up. Listen, if you're a child in here, parents, let them do it. Be a part with them. If you're a youth in here, you know you got to get right with God. Get right with God tonight. Don't walk out of here not knowing. If there's any more, help me out, ushers, if you see any hands. If there's any more tonight. Any more. Pop your hand up right where you're at. Okay, I'm going to do one last sweep starting on this side. Right over here, all the way over. Starting one sweep. If that's you, just pop your hand up right where you're at. I got you. 13. Is there any more? Any more? All right, well, let's give God a praise for 13 wise people tonight. Here's what I would like you to do. I'd like you to do this. I'd like you to grab your purse, your coats, your family, your friends. Come up here to the front. We want to give you a welcome as you come up, and we want to give you some information, but I want to pray with you. So come on up. If that was you tonight, just walk on up. Come on up. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. No shame, no nothing. Just come on up. Come on, church. Just give me a hand. Come on. Come on up. If that's you, come on. You said tonight you want to give your life and your heart to Jesus. They're coming. Come on. Come on, church. Just give them a praise. Come on. Come on up. Come on up. Here they come. Come on. Come on, guys. Come on up if that's you tonight. Come on. They're coming. Come on. You want to touch from God tonight. Come on. You want to give your life to Jesus. Come on. Come on, put a smile on your face. God's got great things for you. Been through a lot of struggles, a lot of hard situations. It's okay. He's gonna say, your faith has made you well. He's got you. He's got you. Love it. Well, here's what we're gonna do, guys. We're gonna say a prayer. And in this prayer, we're inviting Jesus into our life. We raise our hand and we confess that I want to receive him. And tonight, we're going to say a prayer. We're going to invite Jesus into our life. Here's what I want you to know. If you miss a word or two, don't worry about it. Just believe in your heart. And just do your best to repeat these words after me. Don't let the enemy tell you, oh, you missed that. You're not going to make it. Listen, tell that devil a lie. He's a liar. He's not got a grip on you anymore. And all those things that were spoken over you, he's breaking tonight. It's healing your mind right now because you took a step of faith to come up here to say you want to receive him. But here's what I want to challenge you guys. After you invite Jesus into your heart, don't just make this a one-night experience or tonight. I want to challenge you to come back to church. Don't receive Jesus and go out there on your own. But we have many church services here, and you get all that information from outside. But we have services on Sunday. We have services on Wednesday. If you're in youth, we have Wednesday night youth services. If you're in a young adult, you guys are young adults, we have Pastor Antonio over here. We have Friday night, every other Friday night, young adult services. We have services. We have something for you guys. So don't make this just a quick experience, but make it a lifetime change, okay? Can we do that? All right. So here's what I'd like you guys to do is repeat this after me. Father God, I come to you tonight, and I thank you for the opportunity that I have to give my heart and my life to you. Jesus, tonight, I ask that you come inside of my heart. Forgive me for all my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Tonight, I have decided to turn away from hell and turn towards heaven. Jesus, I believe that you died and you rose again from the dead. Holy Spirit, come inside of me. Fill me up. Empower me to live my life as a Christian and to do what God has asked me to do. In Jesus' name, we all said amen. Come on, man. Let's give God a praise. Let's give God a praise. Come on, guys. Feel better, huh? Yeah. Right over here is my friend, Pastor Joel. He is the most amazing dude here. He's awesome. He's going to take you guys, he's going to explain some information to you, give you some information about a program we have here called SPT, Spiritual Personal Trainer. You're probably thinking to yourself, what is that? Anyone ever weightlifting here before? You have a trainer, somebody teaches you basic things. Here's what we want to do. We want to offer you a friend. A friend will come alongside of you for the next several weeks and teach you basic things out of the Word of God. Here's why. The minute you walk out of this place tonight, the devil's going to come and say, what you did tonight wasn't real. And you're going to say this, devil, shut up. You're a liar. Go back to hell where you belong. I know that I'm born again, and I know that I'm saved. And what we want to do is just offer you a friend. He's going to explain all that to you. So if you could just follow him right over here. He's going to walk with you guys. He's a great guy. Come on, church. Let's give him a hand. Come on, church. It's awesome. God is good. God is good. Well, I love you guys. Bless you guys. Hey, let me pronounce a blessing over you. Thank you guys for allowing me to speak to you tonight. Hope you got something from it. I believe God deposited something in your life. But go ahead and lift your hands because I'd like to pronounce a blessing over you. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. I pray a special blessing, God, over every heart and every life and every single person, God, that's in this room, God. Bless them coming and bless them going, God. And everything, God, they put their hands to, let it prosper. And Lord, with a great big shout, we say that the Inland Empire shall be saved. Love you guys. Bless you guys. Have a good night.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us online. If you just gave your heart to Jesus and prayed that salvation prayer with our pastor, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. Here at The Rock, we want to get you plugged in and set up for success as you start this new walk with God. In a moment, I'd like for you to head over to our Respond to God page by clicking the link provided in the comments where you can fill out your information so we can provide you with some free materials. We have a booklet called Welcome to Your Destiny, Easy Steps to a Successful Future with God. We'd love to mail you this paper copy if you are within the continental United States. If not, don't worry about it. We have an electronic copy in PDF format that we would be happy to email you. We also have a comic book we'd love to send out for any kids that have made a decision to follow Jesus. It helps explain their new walk with Jesus in a fun and age-friendly way. We not only want to provide you with these free materials, but if you live locally, we would also like to get you connected with a friend. A spiritual personal trainer, or as we like to call them, SPTs, who can help guide you through your new relationship with God. We encourage you to connect with the local church in your area. And if you are in the Inland Empire, remember, you're always welcome here at The Rock Church. Well, it was great hearing the Word of God with you guys today. We can't wait to see you at our next service. And remember, God loves you and so do we.